All right, Mark.
Here we go.
Episode one.
Can you believe it?
Working class on DeerCast.
This is like your job interview for this, right?
I think that's what it feels like a little bit. Like I'm kind of like sweaty hands a little bit. Yeah. And I'm like nervous, you know, like I've never done a podcast before. But this is cool. I'm your host, Kurt Geyer. And my co-host, which is weird to say, is Mark Drury this episode.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being out to the working class studio for this.
I'm jacked up. I'm glad to be here. It really was a pretty easy drive. I mean, it was under 3 hours.
Straight shot.
Just head east.
So this is kind of crazy because we've known each other for a few years, mm-hmm. and you know our relationship has grown, but we've talked about doing a podcast series a couple years ago, and it kind of just got to a point where it's like, why are we not doing something? Let's make something happen. And it just worked perfectly, I think. It's pretty seamlessly.
It really does, and we're so excited to include you into our family, our DeerCast family.
Yeah.
And I know all of our DeerCast users are going to love this. You know,
yeah, because I hope so.
In my opinion, you guys are the standard in podcasting in the outdoors, in my opinion.
Thank you.
You're my favorite. And of course, Matt and Tim as well. But
they're second best, you know?
Yeah, there you go. But
hey, Matt, hey, Tim.
I just love the way you guys go about your business. And I know those people within DeerCast that aren't familiar with the working class bow hunter are going to really love it. I mean,
we've
worked hard to get the format down, and I think we've got one that's going to be a winning combination.
I hope you're right. I hope they love it because that means that I still get to be a part of the Drury team with this, which is crazy. Like, because for people who don't know, I grew up on your guys' videos and watching you guys, and I wish my dad was around to see this because he would have a hard time really wrapping his head around it. And I am honestly, like, I'm nervous, but like you say, stay nervous. Like, that's good, right?
Yeah. Well, he's with us, right?
Yeah. He's getting ready to throw a hailstorm at me again, which that'll be a story.
But I mean, you said his first buck was there in the corner. Yep.
And then we got his last bucks in the studio out there. And
so,
So he's here. Yeah, for sure. But no, this is a dream come true. It's a lot of fun. And what I'm excited about mostly is, like, if people aren't familiar with regular working class bow hunter on our other series, we're very rough around the edges, very. This is what we are, you know, we're just
very working class,
to where like our language isn't rated E for everyone all the time. But on this series, it can be. This is an E for everyone platform for us.
So absolutely,
it kind of lets us tap into people who really didn't want to tune in because of just how we talk and conversate on some of those other episodes. And they're not all that way, but some are.
Understood. And I think when it comes to our DeerCast audience in general, we have a lot of young folks and a lot of young ears out there and eyes. So we always make sure that everything's G to PG rated from our standpoint.
Yep.
And not that you guys aren't, but I think it'll be a great format, the one that you've chosen to go with.
We have options.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, which is great. But no, excited to be a part of Drury and the DeerCast team and excited to kick off this series. And I guess we kind of talk about what to expect from this new podcast series. One, it'll be a fairly malleable platform, different co-hosts, different guests with co-hosts. So it'll be fun. Just we really do anything we want with it, which is cool.
We can, and you're going to target a time that people can listen or watch over their lunch hour, which I think is smart.
Yeah.
You're going to have guests on at the end of each show with Giant Tracker.
The Giant Tracker segment, yep.
It's one of the features in DeerCast we're so proud of because we highlight people killing monsters all across the country.
Right.
And now we're going in, finding these people, getting them on Zoom and telling their story face-to-face as opposed to the written word.
Exactly. And the one coming at the end of this episode is a pretty cool one.
Oh, it's going
to
be awesome.
And what's even better, what I like about like the nice flavor, is he's at work.
He's going to be when we get there, yes.
Yeah, so it just kind of adds to exactly what we are, you know, what our flavor is when it comes to that. So it's always cool hearing big buck stories and kind of gives me hope that I could kill one too, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm like, if it could happen to some of these guys, then maybe it could happen to me.
Well, I just think those giant trackers just represent the American deer hunter's dream.
They do.
You know, because it's a guy that's may or may not be the only big deer he's ever killed, but more than likely in these segments, it will be.
Yeah.
And these are giant deer. Like, these are the kind you dream about. And who hasn't sat in their stand, even though they don't have trail photos or rubs that would say there's a big deer around, but dream, maybe he's going to walk by today. I mean, that's every deer hunter's dream daily.
Yeah.
And these guys represent that dream coming true.
Yeah. That's the best part about it. That's what keeps your motivation up to go when you might not really want to go, or you have other, like, you got to mow the grass, but you're like, I could kill a 200-inch deer. There's that hope that keeps you, like, you know, your drive up for that. For me anyway, it's just my also excuse to blow everything off at home, you know,
because he might walk by today.
You got to be out there.
Got to be. Can't kill them from the kitchen.
So that segment is going to be cool. And plus, we get to meet these people.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's like an online, some might be in studio, or, you know, if it works out, maybe we could travel to them, you know, but a lot are Zoom, but we get to make new friends and new people in the hunting space, which really is kind of what podcasting is in a way centered around, is genuine conversation with people. So,
and now you got the visual version of that. I all of us grew up watching or reading North American Whitetail. Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost like those stories coming to life, essentially. It's one of the reasons we wanted to do Giant Tracker within DeerCast, because it's real people killing giant deer in their neck of the woods, mm-hmm. and then sharing that story. That's the written word. Now you're going to hear it from their own mouths.
Yeah, which is awesome. I think it's a great addition to what we're doing here with this series, Working Class on DeerCast. And then, you know, obviously, if you're listening to this or watching this, you can listen on Working Class Bowhunters normal podcast feed. If you're watching, you're either on the Drury Outdoors YouTube or you're watching Inside DeerCast. Props to you if that's what you're doing. So that's basically the home of all this, is where it starts from. So
big time. It's the home of a lot in DeerCast. If you start digging deep, there's a bunch in there.
There's a lot in DeerCast.
There is.
It's not just a go or don't go type hunting app, but we can break that down in many episodes here. If you're listening on Working Class Bowhunter podcast regular platform, that's where you can view this, and so we kind of give you a few options, and hopefully it works out for you in your work day.
So yeah,
even if you had to pop up YouTube and listen to it while you're working, that's an option too. And you know, we want to interact with DeerCast users as this grows and finds its groove, you know, outside of the Giant Tracker segment, you know, people comment, we're going to stay in those comment sections, see what people want, see what people are saying. And some of them might just be, you know, maybe somebody kills a big deer, has a cool story. We might have them in.
Let us know.
Co-host or something like that, you know, like
we're wide open. If you're having success out there and there's something you'd like to share, let Kurt know or let us know, and we'll get you guys in touch. I mean, that's the cool thing about social media these days. And we work really hard on our social media pages to make sure that we're listening and talking and communicating with everybody, because I think conversation is really the new currency. You know, you have to have communication.
For sure.
And we want that with all of our deer casters and with anybody that's following a Drury Outdoors page. And that's the same goal you have.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to stay on those comments on these podcasts inside DeerCast. That's where I'll go to first. So if you guys want to talk about something, see a topic get brought up, have a certain guest on or co-host, DeerCast is the first place I'm going underneath these, and that's where I'm going to be pulling all that from.
Isn't it so exciting?
It's exciting, man. I'm excited to have the fun with it, because it's more, we interact with our listeners anyway with the regular series, but it's more on a focused level too with DeerCast now.
Absolutely.
So that'll be the new exciting part of it. The relationship with us is kind of molded into this, which I'm excited. So I hope we don't do two episodes and you just can us, but anything could happen, right?
I can't see that happening. I mean, I've liked you since the day I met you. And I always say that chemistry is a really cool thing, whether it's with the person you end up marrying or your hunting buddies or whatever. And for me, chemistry is really important. And as soon as I met you, I was like, I really like those guys, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad and proud of this relationship that it's got to this point.
I'm excited for it. Well, it'd be weird too, like we form a partnership for a podcast and we couldn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
Might not work out that great.
It'd be challenging. Like, right?
Well, this is over real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's a good funny. Point. We'll always call each other on the phone and talk about something. We're like, oh, we need to be having this conversation on a podcast.
I know. So, I know. So it's like, we should just schedule one and get it going. And
just talk weekly, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good excuse to do it. Content. And we're just doing it really organically what we would have done anyway.
Exactly. And I think that overall pace is important. This fall, we're going to start with one every 2 weeks, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two a month, roughly. Yep. And then once we get into 2022, it's going to be a weekly feature.
So. Every week. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Every single week, starting in January. I mean, so we can stay on the ball in those DeerCast comments and really, like, by the week is what it'll be. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of work, but a lot of fun. That's what we're here to do, podcast and hunt.
And entertain, hopefully, right?
I hope it's entertaining. It would not be good if it wasn't entertaining, but I think it will be.
Yeah, well, please tell us in the comments if we suck. We want to know that too.
Because you asked for it. There's the first "you guys suck" comment.
Here it comes. But we want to know if there's something you want to see. And like you said, malleable is a great word, because you can change to whatever the viewers are wanting.
Yeah, and I don't mean like when the growth of this in the first year. This is brand new, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We might introduce a new segment that, you know, maybe you guys bring up that we
like,
that's a great idea. We should do that. And, you know, we can do whatever we want. That's the best thing about it all. You know, it's all inside DeerCast, and It's ours.
And it's for them. You know, it's for DeerCast users. We want it right.
So. Yep. So I've been scrolling in DeerCast the last couple of days pretty heavily. And Deer Season 21 was the thing that I got really into recently. I watched Austin shoot that giant muley. And I really like the whole idea behind Deer Season 21. I want you to talk about it, but that whole video set, I know he was kind of in the video. He's like, I'm not a videographer. I apologize, but he knocked it out of the park.
He did. Well, he was the hunter. Colton was the one doing the filming.
It was all good.
And Taylor helped as well within some of it, but they did a good job. And you're right. We're so excited about Deer Season 21. I mean, we started doing Turkey Season 20, then Turkey Season 21, Deer Season 20, but we were mostly just short form stuff on social media.
Yeah.
This year, for the first time in Dre Outdoors history, we're bringing you the season in a semi-live fashion with all of our feature hunters and deer. Yeah. So in, you know, as the season progresses, we just uploaded episode 4 or 5 already. And already this year, we've seen a 200-inch deer from Utah. Mm-hmm. We've seen an incredible miss on a giant whitetail out in South Dakota, a youth hunt from Kansas that's just will tear your heartstrings out. And then we just uploaded a 190-inch Alberta mule deer that's just a beast that Brandon Jennings killed, and all of Wade's tough luck up there.
Yeah.
So it's new, it's gripping, it's awesome. The guys that are producing it are top shelf. And
was Austin's episode one of that?
He was number one.
Man, I'm behind then. I just watched that. I thought I was on the ball. That's how quick content's coming in. I'm like,
it's flying.
4 episodes behind already.
Yeah, we're doing a couple, 3 a week. So,
well, that's impressive.
And it's long form stuff. It's anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 or 40 if the content's there. And
how much will that differ from like what you'd see on like on one of the jury videos? Like, will it change a whole lot?
It's going to be very reminiscent of the old jury videos.
Yeah.
It's literally videos in real time, long form stories. Mm-hmm. Sometimes on TV, some of the story, it gets hidden or you lose it because of lack of time. TV for one episode, you have about 22 minutes to actually get your content out there. Everything else is commercial breaks and teasers and all this other type of stuff. Well, you know, we're taking a hunt and making it 22 minutes in a TV show. There might be 3 hunts in that 22 minutes. So you're missing some of the story. So it is the video format, you know.
Yeah. And that's what pulled me into that.
That's what everybody grew up on for Drury Outdoors.
Yeah.
Long form storytelling.
Well, that's what I loved about Austin's hunt. I won't get too into detail because I think people should go watch it. But what pulled me in about it was kind of watching him game plan and then a little bit of his like frustration with it to try and get an opportunity and to get a shot. I mean, it's a 200-inch.
201 and 201 and 2/8, I think. Yeah.
It's insane. You know, it shows him at one point was accidentally within like 40 yards of the thing. And that's all shown on there.
He was 7 yards. Actually, that deer was, the video's backed out, but that deer walked by 7 yards away from him, but it was to his right. And he's a bow hunter and he's right handed. So you know how difficult that is. But
yep.
They were in his bed and they didn't realize he was up because it was so thick in there. And he was actually had worked around and he came in right behind him and caught him.
It gives you kind of like the anxiety of like the moment a little bit, the way that was filmed and everything like that. I loved it. But I think that's going to be exciting and cool that people can kind of to go with that. But I think another part of it, I'm sure you guys have thought about this, but for me, when I watch that stuff come out regularly like that, like 3 times a week, sometimes that gives me motivation to keep hunting. So like if I get frustrated, what's happening in my neck of the woods,
right? Yeah, exactly.
It's a motivator.
It is. And you know, you'll see a heavy usage of DeerCast within the series as well, because we feel like there's some other eyeballs out there that are on YouTube or perhaps on social media that aren't part of the app just yet. So we want to make sure that we're introducing it to as many people as we possibly can. The other semi-live series that hasn't dropped yet this year, but Stream Season Live, this will be the third year for that. And it's going to be awesome. That cast is just phenomenal. They're all killers. And Deer Season 21, we've already been to 5 locations throughout. We're about to hit our 6th, if I'm not mistaken, but we've been to Utah, we've been to South Dakota, we've been to Kansas, we've been to Wyoming, we've been to Southern Alberta, and we're going to Colorado. So you'll see a lot of different states and a lot of locations in Deer Season 21.
Yeah.
That Dream Season Live, they're all Midwestern boys. A lot of them live in Iowa, boys and girls, and they're killing giants. So
both of
those are going to be, you know, before the year's over, between Dream Season Live and Deer Season 21, we're probably going to do 50 full-length installments. It's insane how fast these guys are editing and getting out quality content.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like to crank out that many from when I watched Austin's episode, and it was within days of him harvesting that buck, right? I mean, you guys got, you know, shout out to your editors at Drury, because those guys got to just be on the ball, cutting and getting ready.
They're killing it. Josh Barks is our lead producer there. Carson Brandt, who is brand new with us. Josh is new as well. Carson's assisting him. Ben Stallman's assisting him. And they're very talented.
Yeah.
Hunters that are incredible producers and editors.
That helps too. Good hunters that are also...
Those guys are all killers and good at it. And I can't wait to see the whole series unfold. Thus far, it's been phenomenal.
And people will be able to go to DeerCast and kind of watch through all the episodes in order as...
They'll all be in DeerCast. Absolutely. Yeah. You bet. Or you can catch it on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I liked it too. Like, DeerCast is cool because you just scroll through and that's how I saw it. I'm like, all right, there's the hunt. I got to watch this.
Yeah.
Because you, before I went on my mule deer hunt, you texted me pictures of Austin's buck and I'm like, oh man. You know, it just gets you more excited to go out on your hunt. So
it does.
That's what I loved about it. But yeah, I'm excited for all this, man. This is going to be fun. And let's kind of talk about DeerCast now. You know, we're in September now. I don't know when this episode will exactly launch.
Right away.
Yeah, as quick as we can get her out.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, compared to your editors, we need to be on the ball. But what are you looking at now in DeerCast coming into October? I mean, is there certain things you're looking for as far as like weather is concerned, or?
Yeah, I always look at that 10-day within DeerCast, and I go to the hour by hour in the 10-day, and I just look at the trend. That gives you a graph, you know? Yeah. That's the one I look at the most. Then I'll go to one day and then look at the individual weather variables and understand why they're given the prediction that they are. Mm-hmm. And right now it's warm and staying warm and dry. So you start to say, okay, that's really going to be a tough hunt. However, when you catch those cold fronts, they're that much more important, right? So extended cold, the deer kind of get used to it and then they don't move as well as intermittent cold. Yeah. So you got really, really rough, you know, warm temperatures, 90 degrees, way above average.
Right.
And then all of a sudden that cold front, they all move.
Kind of your brakes to be thinking about making a move.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we are going to miss the rising moon of September, which is going to be the 15th through the 20th, which I love for afternoon movement. Mm-hmm. But on the opening day of Missouri, the 15th, there's a slight little cold front. So it's actually getting temperatures back to normal,
right?
Which
right.
is a cold front, which is kind of sad. But
yeah,
I have high hopes on that rising moon with that cold front. The pressure's not where I want it, and the wind's not where I want it. But we have several variables that are favorable. So
yeah, I always forget about, and sorry for everybody in Missouri, but that it's a little early opener in Wisconsin's the same, the 15th-ish in there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Ohio, 23rd, 28th, somewhere in there. Yeah.
But, you know, here in Illinois and in Iowa, October 1 is just the standard for us, which,
sure,
you know, I'm not.
Of course, Kentucky's already open and
Tennessee's
many,
been open.
Yeah, many of the Western states are open. So
yeah,
there's quite a few that are open now.
Yeah, definitely. Get to, you know, get your Western itch scratched a little bit. But it would be cool if Illinois and Iowa, I think, opened a little sooner. But a lot of times it's so hot that it just.
It really is. You know? I tell you what, Terry and I talk about it all the time. Missouri used to be October 1.
Yeah.
And they switched it to September 15th. And I never realized how hot the last 15 days of September were until I started, you know, hunting in full camouflage, you know, mossy oak head to toe. And,
right.
And I'm like, man, is it hot in September? It's crazy.
Do you do, like, I know you're probably going to be down in Missouri for that opener.
Oh, yeah. We're running three crews at night.
Yeah.
You know, so you take your shots on the good days, and we're going for broke that day. We're, you know, instead of running a crew and going, where are we going to hunt? We're going to cover three spots
and just get after it.
Get after them.
I was curious, you know, it's like, man, you know, if I'm looking at DeerCast and it shows me a break on weather, you know, it's like, hey, get in there. But man, I just, even sometimes the first week of October in Illinois, I'm like getting ate up by mosquitoes and you're sweating and you almost just feel like, what am I doing? But now I'll do, unless it's something telling me I need to go into my spot, you know, I'm low pressure sitting, you know, somewhere easy to get to and quick to get to. And
exactly.
But I'm out there.
Don't hunt your good spots on bad days. That's what I always say.
It's hard not to, but it makes sense. It's almost, as I grow as a hunter, I learn to just make more calculated moves rather than just making moves because I feel like I just need to make them for whatever reason.
Sure.
So that's
part of the evolution, you know?
Right.
Of hunting. It's one of the reasons we did DeerCast to kind of bring light to the fact that not every day is created equal. You know, like a lot of hunters go out and go, well, it's deer season. They're going to be moving.
I got to be there.
Yeah. I got to be there. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make good choices and bad choices. And
right.
a lot of that revolves around whether they're going to move that day during daylight hours. And I have several cell cams running. So that's one of the ways that I monitor the effectiveness and the accuracy of DeerCast is I'm constantly comparing the prediction with the results in the field, you know, and I probably got 60 plus cell cams running, you know, so I'm seeing deer from Texas to Iowa to Missouri. Terry's got Illinois.
Yeah.
And we compare notes daily, and we've got her tweaked out pretty strong right now. I mean,
so you're saying the algorithm within DeerCast isn't for no reason?
Oh, no, it's not for no reason.
Really? I never would have thought.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just fun to watch it and see it you know, develop and turn into the accuracy model that it is.
Yeah, that, I like that about the cell cams too. You know, you put them in certain spots and you don't have to go back in there and mess around. And then,
and that's the cool thing. Like DeerCast is built around without human intrusion, right? So with the cell cam, you're seeing the movement without your entry or exit from the stand and that type of stuff. So it really is a great way to monitor deer movement.
It's fun to do that, to look at the movement, and then kind of you can take your own notes on the side, like, oh, that deer did this on this wind, and let's see on the next time that wind if he does the same thing. And
big time,
you can kind of get your own pattern, you know.
Well, especially one of the things I like to do is take a snapshot, a screenshot of the hourly and of the daily prediction, and then I key that into all the pictures that I got that day.
Gotcha. That's smart.
Yeah, it's pretty helpful. If you do it that way, it starts, it's really starts, you know, turning on the light bulbs for you.
Yeah, you can almost take DeerCast a step further within your own organization to kind of just make it, just get more out of it, really.
Yeah, because it's hindsight then, right? DeerCast is a predictive model, so it's foresight. However, you can analyze it from a hindsight standpoint by doing that. You know, look at your cell pics or your pictures from that day and keep a screenshot of every day's prediction, both from the hourly and the daily predictor. And you can start to say, you know what? This is extremely accurate and it fits my hunting area perfectly. Or it's a little off. It's a little too optimistic, a little too pessimistic. I want the custom version to where I can go in there and customize it based on hindsight to get it exactly the way I want it. Because I'm not saying that our algorithm is there to fit every deer herd across the country. But in general, it's a great baseline that if you do engage with custom, you're going to hone it into your area without a problem and without a question.
Yeah. No, that's the coolest thing about it. You can do that. And, you know, that's something I'm going to start doing, is doing those screenshots. Like you said, it's something I never did before. It's something I never thought about, honestly, before, but it makes sense.
And sometimes, you know, the other thing that it'll do is allow you to understand what a good means in your area, or what an okay means in your area, what a great means in your area. So does it mean that everything moved, or does it just simply mean they moved a little earlier than they normally would? That type of thing.
Yeah.
So it helps you understand what that prediction means for your area.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think this is great for a lot of guys that have full-time jobs, which is everybody pretty much. Or some guys work a lot of overtime and don't have a ton of time to dedicate to hunting, and, you know, as much as they'd like. And if this app can help them calculate or help them break down on what days they should take, or, hey, you know, my boss can let me cut out a few hours early, I can get to the stand. You know, this is a valuable tool for those guys for no money, really, for a year. It's very inexpensive, and everything you get with it, that's pretty powerful.
And we have a version that's free. If you want the daily, if you want 5 days, it's $10. If you want 10 days, it's $20. So it's a small price to pay for the information that's in there, plus all the Deer Season 21, plus the DeerCast Daily, plus the Working Class podcast. I mean, it's loaded with content.
DeerCast track thing in there, man.
Amen.
I will.
That's in the $20 version.
I will play that, but it's worth it. I'd pay more, to be honest with you, because I go through and throw scenarios at it just to see like what videos pop up. So like I'll take the cursor and just hit random spots on the deer, and then your guys' video library pops up for shots in that location. And I think it's cool to kind of know that ahead of time, because, you know, everybody knows, well, most people know what a double lung shot deer looks like. That's the best shot, really. I'm a double lung guy. A lot of guys are heart guys, you know. Are you a heart guy or double lung guy?
Double lung.
A double lung.
More room for error.
But it's kind of nice to be able to adjust that to like maybe bring it back towards the liver, and then watch shot reactions on how a deer reacted at the shot. And
it's amazing the difference in time that it takes.
Yep. Well, amazing. That too, but even like if you just watch that and you kind of play with that part of DeerCast, it kind of gets you familiar on like body reactions on the shot. Big time. So if you're in the moment, you know, we did that podcast for the regular working class bowhunter series, basically slow the game down. You know, you're doing your best to slow the game down. You make a shot that might be 8-10 inches back, and then you watch the deer's body behavior as he runs and maybe slows to a walk, you can kind of be already thinking about what's going on and watching for certain things because you kind of played with the app a little more before that circumstance happened.
It is a tremendous teaching tool, not only for yourself, but a young hunter.
Yeah.
To where you can, you know, you think about when you learned, you know, how to shoot and whatever, nobody peeled the layers back and showed you what was under there, what bones you're hitting, what organs you're hitting, what arteries you might hit. And it's an incredible teaching tool. And if you put it in a young person's hands, they don't stop watching it. I know like all of my nieces and nephews, their children are getting into hunting and they're like, they won't put DeerCast track down. They just want to watch every hit and go inside the animal, and they love it, man. It's a great teaching tool.
How did that idea like come about? Because it's a great idea. I think it's the best idea that probably a deer hunting app has, really, because it's going to help people, you know, be more successful, maybe in a tough moment.
That's what I say. It's the help you need when you need it the most. It's a bad feeling when you make a bad hit and you're like, now what do I do?
You feel sick, you know?
Yeah.
Or you just don't know what to do. Like, you know, when I was young, made a couple of bad hits, and then I'm just like,
And you push too soon or you track too soon. Everybody wants that deer. That you get too aggressive in that moment. If you just take the 30 minutes to watch some of the hits, all of a sudden it'll be like, don't go right now. Wait about 5 hours or wait 7 hours. You give that animal the appropriate amount of time, you're going to recover a lot more deer. But it came about the same way that the algorithm came about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we wanted to do the algorithm because, frankly, Terry and I were tired of people calling us every day going, hey, you think they're going to move today or this week? Would you look at the forecast and tell me in such, Illinois, whether you think they're going to be moving? And I'm like, it was nonstop. And I'm like, I told Terry, I was like, why don't we do an algorithm that shows everybody whether they're going to be moving and tracks the same way. Like all fall, I mean, our phones just blow up. People wanting help with track jobs, not for you to go, but for you to give an opinion, because so many people video anymore. They'll send you the hit. What do you think? We break it down. And I was like, anytime there's a demand, it's like supply it. So there was a demand for a deer movement predictor, and there was a demand for help in the moment of truth when you need to go track an animal. So that's it was a labor of love, though. It was a long process to get that thing produced.
I can imagine. I think I was actually down at your guys' office when it was being developed, I believe, when I was there. I got to see some of the snippets and the people that were doing some of the editing and like basically cutting out some of those shots. I can't imagine. Like, do you know, I doubt you don't, maybe you do, how many hours of man hours went into like
the cuts? Think it was over 1,200, if I'm not mistaken. I think I calculated it one day and I thought we had 1,200 edit hours in it. And we're editing new hits right now. We're going to upload another 40 or 50 over the next month or so.
Probably gets updated by the year, right?
It does. You know, as new hits come in, we add them there. Just an additional hit in the same area, just to give people more reference points, you know?
More confidence or more whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's... it's probably just easier to stay on top of it that way throughout the year than having to wait 5 years and then cut back through all the shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool. To me, when you guys first went through that, I'm like, I can't imagine... One, that's a great idea, but then... basically making it a thing in the app, like just the amount of footage and the time it'd take to go back through the hunts and cut out the appropriate segments. And then you guys are actually adding in additional information. Like, you guys aren't just cutting the shot out and putting it in. You guys a lot of times are adding.
Oh yeah. We're adding narrative,
the breakdown.
We talk about that angle, whether it be broadside, quartering away, quartering to, what they hit, you know, what type of blood they might expect, how long they should wait, whether it's a gun, whether it's an archery hit.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we had to then figure out an algorithm, because that's an algorithm too, to where the cursor hits and then the videos backfill. So that was tricky, like figuring out how to get the computer to, or the app to do that.
Like calculate the certain area on
The area. And then we increase the area so that all those shots backfill in the order that is closest to farthest.
Oh, really?
From the hit. Yeah, it's pretty...
Holy smokes, man.
We got some really smart developers.
I was going to say the app developers are probably... Are they hunters?
No.
Are they like, what the heck are we making?
The ones that did that are not hunters, no.
They got to be like, what the heck?
Oh, yeah. They're good, though. They're smart. They're really good.
They got to be, man. I wonder if it's like an industry they even ever tapped into or had been tapped into before.
Those guys know. No.
Can you imagine what they were thinking?
Well, if you look back on it, like, the guy that did the algorithm for the weather is similar to the guy that did the DeerCast track. He worked on both, but he's never hunted, but he's a super smart guy. And the reason he understood the weather to the point that he did, that he was able to help us with the algorithm, like we told him what the deer would do, and then he created the buttons and all the levers and all that stuff. He's a pilot, so he understands weather as deeply as we do, and he knows what different things do to him flying through the atmosphere, right? So
that wasn't so weird for him.
Like it wasn't. He understood every variable infinitely, right? Wow. Intimately. Yeah. And so that really helped creating that algorithm.
He's probably the best deer hunter that hasn't hunted.
Him and all of our editors are like, I joked with all the guys at the studio because for the most part, the ones in our St. Peter studio are not hunters either. They're incredibly talented people.
Yeah.
But when we got done with track and those 1,200 hours were in, I was like, guys, when I hit one bad this year, I'm going to call you and get your advice because you now are the four most expert trackers in North America right now because they had to produce all that stuff.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
They're the best deer trackers that have never killed a deer.
Exactly. Exactly. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. To me, I just like the mindset of like throwing somebody completely separate because this world might seem a little weird to people.
I'm sure it does.
Who you know, like you take, I mean, my wife before we started dating, it wasn't on her radar, you know, she knew hunting was a thing, but like if she would have came in here in the studio that we have now and like, oh yeah, there's hunting shows and podcasts and all this and this app, this algorithm that shows weather and shot, you know, whatever, it'd be like, I didn't know this part of the world existed. So it's kind of nice to be involved in this world of DeerCast because there's nobody judging. It's a judgment-free zone.
Big time.
Is DeerCast a safe space for us?
Absolutely. It is the safe space for the American deer hunter.
I like it.
And it will remain focused on that deer hunter. That's one of the things we said. We were like, this is, you know, people are like, give us ElkCast and MuleDeerCast, and we might someday, but we know whitetails,
right,
you know?
Right.
And that's why we keep it so laser-focused to the American whitetail deer hunter.
I think it's great. And we're glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, buddy. I mean, I can't tell you how glad I am.
I'm excited, man. The first episode is in.
Here we go.
I appreciate it.
Rock and roll, bud.
Let's go. I got to figure out a different closing. The working class boner, I always said, go shoot your bow or whatever.
Go shoot your deer.
Go shoot your deer. So this is where we transition into the giant tracker segment. So hope you guys enjoy that and appreciate you guys tuning into this first episode of Working Class on DeerCast. Kurt Geyer here and my co-host, Mark Drury.
That's thank pretty you, cool brother. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming on, Steve. I know you're at work, but we appreciate that even more that you're a true working class guy and you can kill big bucks and then still take the time on your lunch break to join us on this segment. So much appreciated.
You're welcome. Anytime.
So you are from Oklahoma.
Yes.
And apparently there's big deer there because you shot one of them.
There's pretty good sized deer here, yes.
Well, tell us about it.
To say the least.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I've been hunting this deer since 17. I didn't realize he had gotten that big. I knew he was big in 18. Well, yeah, 18 and then 19. I'd actually found his sheds on, backtrack a little bit. The landowner had found the sheds, January 23rd of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I actually had an encounter with him. I sent some videos to you guys or some pictures. And it was January 14th. I was trying to get a doe last day because it was 15th when it ended. And I was trying to get a doe and I looked up to the brush and I thought, that's the biggest doe I've ever seen. So as it got closer, I was like, holy cow, I don't think that's a doe. I took my binoculars and looked, and sure enough, as the buck coming in, of course, without his horns, he was just free grazing. Like, you know, I gave him a pass for sure. There's no going to shoot that deer for sure. Yeah. So, but yeah. And then I'd got him the year before in 17 on camera, which I sent some pictures of that too.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, he just blew up. And then I knew there was a good deer in there, but I didn't know how big I could get him because I hunt 520 acres on a landowner's property. And I mean, he gives me free rein to do where I want, plant food plots, mineral stations, wherever I want on there. So, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And
that's a dream come true for a lot of guys, too. So that's cool.
Yeah. I kind of went crazy with the mineral. I went Trophy Rock, Rice Bran, involved harvest. I think I even messaged Mark maybe about maybe some biologic or something in the spring, just trying to get something to get him bigger. Boy, howdy, did he ever grow. So I'm not saying it was all me. I mean, it could have been some neighbors growing them too, you know, a little bit. But mm-hmm. I know he was in that area. And the crazy part about it was in 18, I never got a picture. 19, I never got a picture.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, one morning, the last second day of the season, he pops out. I was like, wow, that's a good deer. I didn't know how big he really was because I text Mark like probably it maybe been an hour, probably not even an hour later. I was like, Mark, I got a big one. He is a giant, absolute giant. So I was real excited to share that with him. But this deer is just, I did a lot of homework, a lot of scouting. I just hunkered down what I did. I just stayed one spot. I hunted it all rifle, no matter what. Like I said, bow season, I had several come in. You know, I knew there was a good deer in there. I just let him go.
Yeah.
And when he came in, I was like, well, he's not very wide. Then he turned his head and I was like, but he is a dang sure shooter. So, it was very, very exciting. So,
yeah, I would say that 201 and 3/8. Yeah. I'd say he's a shooter.
Well, actually, that number has changed. It officially got scored because a friend of mine scored it then. Okay. He actually grew. The official score, net score, was 202 and 7/8.
Oh, my.
Can't argue with gross. That.
Yeah, gross was 209 and 3/8.
How about it? That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's just crazy. You might be wondering, he said he texted me. Yeah. You know, it's like,
well, yeah, yeah. How do you get Mark's number?
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a connection here, which I find incredible. Uh-huh. Because when we decided to do this series with the working class guys, we sent Kurt a bunch of different giant trackers from the past and mm-hmm. within DeerCast, and he chose Steve's.
Yes. Episode one.
And I was like, you know, we know Steve because we actually hosted along with the folks down at Terra, his son, Dylan, on a Catch a Dream mm-hmm. adventure. Yeah. So that's how Steve has my cell number. We've stayed in touch through the years and here we are reconnected again through DeerCast and through Giant Tracker. So it couldn't happen to a nicer guy or nicer family. So we send our wishes to Dylan because I think he's doing well, isn't he?
He's doing well. He's doing well. Yeah.
Yep. That's great.
It sounds like, it sounds like from what I read in the Giant Tracker segment on DeerCast that sounds like work's kind of getting in the way of his hunting a little bit and dad gets to go hunting. So it's working out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Working pretty good. I'll tell you more about the story of how kind of transferred. I don't know what all you guys want to know. I know I'm on recording. I know you get edited, but there's a pretty special story behind this deer.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I just lost my mom on November 19th. And, you know, my mom always wanted me to, you know, she knew I was just diehard hunter. I mean, always have been. And crazy part about this whole deal was before the feeder went off, it was just real quiet. Sun was coming up real frosty that morning. And there's a cardinal across the way there just making all kinds of chaos. I think they were fighting. I don't know what they were doing, but, you know, they were being pretty noisy. And then the feeder went off. When the feeder went off, they kind of flew off. And then that one, he hauled around a little bit, stayed over there for a while, and then came on and flew next to me and started, like, chirping. Well, my mom loves redbirds. Mm-hmm. Guess what steps out after that? That big buck.
The sign right there.
That is a sign. That's amazing. But we've never shared this, or nor have you shared that with me, but my dad passed in March of 17 mm-hmm. and there were some cardinals there at the house and they meant a lot to mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And of course they're St. Louis Cardinals fans, but they loved those cardinals. And anytime we see one, we'll take a picture of it, share it with the family. So we have that same connection. So yet another connection, Steve. That's amazing because mom looks for those cardinals for signs. Exactly what you just said.
Yeah. Oh, it's a blessing, man. It's unreal. I turned up, I looked at him and said, thanks, Mom. So, you know, because when he stepped out, you know, I had to give him time. And I said, thanks, Mom. And it flew off. I was like, holy cow. So anyway, it's just pretty touching.
No, that's cool. Hearing stories like that's neat. You know, my dad passed away recently and I was just on a hunt in Wyoming. I had some similar experiences out there with that hunt, like unbelievable on just circumstances that unfolded one after another that honestly didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm like, that's my dad messing with me and saying congratulations, but not making it too easy on me all at the same time. So
it was interesting. He chose hail as opposed to a beautiful cardinal for you, Kurt.
You know, you're right. I killed the mule deer. And, you know, is celebrating and we're getting ready to pack up the mountain and then just hailstorm comes through and then clear starry skies afterwards. And my buddies were like, if that wasn't your dad saying, you know, you're not getting out of this without, well, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk for you. Have fun.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of fun.
For sure.
I would much rather awesome. Have taken a cardinal up there on the mountain than hail, but whatever, right?
For sure.
Well, that's awesome, man. That's a great story. So, I mean, what was the reaction when you get back? Like, how'd your boy react to this deer?
Oh, man. I was all overwhelmed. I mean, of course, I called Dylan. I called Matt, you know, and I was like, you guys didn't believe this. Well, Matt was fixing to go in the service, and he's actually fixing to leave out. This deer was shot on December 7th. He's leaving out for the Navy December 11th. So, of course, Laura walks in there. Man, wake up. You know, your dad just shot a big buck. And no way. And she goes, where is this deer? I says, it's up my feet, honey. So she was real excited. Of course, they were all hooping and hollering the house. Then Dylan, sorry, she called Dylan. Dylan's like, I'll be over in a little bit. So it was chaos for a little bit. So I had to go get the, you know, I had to bring the deer to the, you know, deer home. They were already there waiting on me. And it's just, it's crazy. I mean.
That's awesome. Just tell Dylan and Matt that we love them and thank Matt for his service. That's pretty awesome. I was unaware of that. That's great.
Yeah. Thanks for your service, Matt. That is cool. Well, that's a great story, man. It's kind of like it was just meant to be and everything unfolded the way it needed to unfold and the connection right. with you and Mark already, and then being the first,
and you choose a name randomly. And yeah. It's pretty cool.
As literally episode one. That so is, it just worked out great. So
that was truly amazing for sure. Mark.
We appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. Everything going okay with you? I mean,
everything's good. Good. Can't complain. Ready for deer season like everybody else.
Oh yeah, for sure. You got some big ones stocked out and up in Canada. You going to Canada this year?
Brandon and Wade went and Brandon killed a 190. Wade was unsuccessfully at a lot of stocks go the wrong way. He's going back in early October to try and finish what they started. So he gets two trips to Canada this year instead of one.
That's cool. Very, very, man, I can't thank you guys enough for bringing me aboard on this deal. And,
of course.
I mean, we appreciate you. We can't thank you enough for shooting that 209.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was a real eye-opener because, like I said, when he first came out, he wasn't very wide, but when he turned his head, I was like, man, he's got some points now. And when I walked up on that deer, and that's the part I probably should have told first, my legs were shaking so bad, I about got sick. I mean, I was shaking. The landowner was just beyond himself because where I shot the deer, the crazy part about it was it's way up in, behind his house. Just, I mean, it's probably 500 yards, 600 yards up there, but you can still see the meadow where the deer had laid down and died. And, man, he ran out. I looked up on the hill, and he ran out across his yard, ran, got it side by side. Got me, and I was probably about halfway up the hill by the time he got side by side there. He's, what'd you do? I said, Doc, I said, I think I shot the biggest deer in my life. I said, I know I did, but he's unreal. And he goes, oh, he's probably that big one. Well, when we went pulled up there, boy, he literally socked me in the gut. What did you do, boy? You know, playing with me. And I started laughing now. And I said, man, I said, Doc. And he goes, you're going to be all right. He's, you're off the white. I said, man, I can't quit shaking. He says, go over and pick up that deer. Let's get some pictures. I mean, of course, I wasn't smiling because I was just like.
In shock.
Oh, I was just shocked. I mean, the closer we got to that thing, and Doc goes, boy, that's a dandy. He said, I've never seen that deer before. He says, that's one of the biggest deer I've ever seen.
Sure.
Love anyway, it, man.
Like I that's said, there's great. So much I could add to this story. It's just unreal.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your lunch break. I know. It's always fun to talk hunting, but I know how crazy lunch breaks can get. So now we'll let you get back to your job, man. We appreciate you doing this. And it's a great story. Sounds like everybody's doing good. And congratulations again, 209 Oklahoma Giant.
209 3/8
My apologies.
Don't short him that. Now go kill a bigger one this fall, Steve. Okay.
I'm working on it.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good day at work.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you, man.